What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype. This is episode 207. It's a very topic-heavy show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about those QBs, those rookie QBs, those lackluster performances. Should we jump ship already and maybe go backwards and do 2020, 2019? I don't know. We're also going to talk about the new Fanatics. They just got a boatload. Or some may call a buttload of money. We're going to talk about that as well. We got a lot of other different topics to talk about. We're going to talk about the new NBA rookies with the release of the 21-22 Chronicles draft. We're seeing some of their autographs pop up already. So we're going to discuss that as well. Dan, C-Red, what's going down?
What's up? I'm just here to talk about the Rams. What about you?
I'm here to talk about the Raiders.
Cool. Hey, how was that Green Bay game?
It's fun. It's fun to be at. Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT, man. We had an NFL show here on Mojo Break Media, and I ranked Aaron Rodgers as number one. So, I mean, I guess I reap what I sow.
I think I did, too.
We have some of his exquisite cards and stuff like that. We have some of his rookie patch autos. So, I guess in a way, I'm a little happy for that, but a little sad. And I'm ready for Trey Lance.
I mean, Mason Crosby, clutch. What, 53-yarder?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. We're actually going to be talking about kicker autos in this show as well. So that was a perfect segue that you didn't even know about. We're going to talk about kicker autos because there was a big kick this weekend.
It was a
Ripped
couple
the heart
of them.
Out of a fan base that thought they might have had a dub, and it was an unbelievable kick. So we're going to talk about kicker autos in the marketplace. But the Raiders, I think it was the longest game in history, C-Rad, but they pulled out another dub.
Yes. I can't believe the first two home games we went into overtime both.
Did you guys win by a kick as well?
Yep.
Dylan Carlson, right? No, it's Dylan Carson.
Chris Carson.
He's made like the last 26 or 27 too, so he's been pretty clutch for us.
Dylan Carlson? Something like he used to kick for Seattle.
Yeah.
But baseball player on the Cardinals, he does kicking too?
He kicks as well, yeah. Yeah.
You know, as Raider fans, we love Sebastian, so getting somebody that we feel is like a really competent kicker, you know, obviously not as great as it's a lot to live up to Sebastian Janikowski, but that kid's doing pretty good.
Is that your favorite kicker of all time, Seabass?
Yeah.
What's your favorite kicker of all time?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, he's not killing it right now, but I got to go with the Legatron, Greg the Leg. Just based on name alone.
Yeah, I think his best years are behind him. I think mine's Mike Kofer.
How about Jeff Wilkins?
There you go.
That was a
Robbie Gould's pretty good too. He's ranked pretty high on the all-time list. And
Josh Brown. I'm trying to think of. See, I like Greg the Leg. He's strong leg. That's why he's called Greg the Leg. He's not called Greg the Arm. He's called Greg the Leg.
Greg the Knee.
Right now, I think he has a hurt back. It might be Greg the Back. Hmm. But yeah, I mean kickers, huh? Justin Tucker.
We're definitely going to be talking about that. I think the numbers are going to surprise you guys.
Is that not yet? We're not on that slide yet.
We're not on that slide yet.
I think it's probably like way down.
It is. It's not. I mean, you know, we got to show kickers some love. I'm sure people are going to be like, why are we talking about kickers? But I think we need to. I mean, just like offensive linemen, kickers need love too. And they, if you look at the most points scored in history, it's always kickers.
So. I thought that was the segue, Cody.
Wait a second. We are missing Cody. We're going to be missing him for about 7 episodes, I believe, as he is at home with his new child, and he's spending time with his kid, which is awesome. So he'll be ready to go probably a little bit after Thanksgiving. But you got me. You got Fumble Fingers over here filling in, trying to figure it out. I don't even know if you guys can hear me, but we're here. We're doing this thing, and we're going to talk. We're going to talk sports cards like we do every week, guys. Yes. So let's kick it into the first slide, and I'm going to kick this over to C-Rad because C-Rad got a little ticky-talky fame, a little Instagram fame, a little Twitter fame. The account Card Porn went ahead and showed one of the epic videos that we've had over the years, and it was C-Rad pulling the LeBron James logo, man. And if you haven't seen the video, you can search LeBron James 101 under our Mojo Break, and you can watch the video in its entirety. But what's it like to be TikTok famous?
Well, I have 2 followers right now, so I don't know if I feel the effects of it yet, but we'll see after the week is over. You know, it is pretty cool to be this video posted after, you know, it's been a few years since that break, and for people to be able to appreciate it now is pretty cool.
I love how it was sped up. That was like, I think that was my favorite
TikTok
part.
Version
the TikTok
is,
version was
if
sped
you
up.
Watch the TikTok version, it's hilarious because it's sped up.
I was laughing. I was laughing my ass off because I was like, this is so funny. Like how fast he falls.
Yeah.
Like all you just see is like just legs.
And then you have the little arrow pointing to him to let people to know, watch him. Yeah, it was pretty epic. And you know, you called out in the video that somebody got a house, right? So everybody was commenting on that. But at that time, I think that was only about a $50,000 card. So where were you thinking people were going to get a house at?
Well, you know, Cody.
Mexico?
Maybe Detroit?
No, you know what? Honestly, in that moment, you know, obviously we know like how much some of them, those two that I hit that year sold for or around about. Of what they sold for. In that moment, I honestly thought this was like a $150,000 card at the time, even back then.
Yeah.
Because
now it is. It's, I think, estimated 250 to 500K somewhere.
I would guess 500 nowadays. But back then, I still think it was six figures back then because in my head, when I was pulling it, I was like, okay, this is LeBron's first logo man as a Laker. And this one, specifically the flawless one, is the game used from a Lakers uniform itself. The first one I pulled 4 months earlier out of National Treasures, we know that that one couldn't have been from a Lakers uniform because he had just signed with the Lakers, you know what I mean? So that it was most likely a Cavaliers game-worn logo man from the National Treasures that I hit 4 months earlier. This one we knew for a fact is going to be the first Lakers logo man. So in my head at the time, I was like, Kevin, come get your house because – you know, 100. You could buy a house for 100, 150 somewhere. Not around here, but
heck of a well, close to a down payment here. Yeah. Close to it.
Yeah, exactly. But then you know, we obviously heard about what they sold for at the time, and compared to what it's worth now, yeah, it was nothing, right?
But that's a foresight. You basically had a kind of a crystal ball saying that the sports card industry is going to pick up, and this card's going to be worth possibly a new house, and it's LeBron. He's not going to have very many logo mans, many more coming up. So, you know, there's one or two a year, and that's a big one. That's a pivotal one.
The first year one is going to be
got some funny comments on there too.
Yeah, we're gonna go to that. We're gonna have you respond because there was a couple guys. Most of it was positive, but because you fainted. Yeah. And kicked the camera out. Our cameras back then, for you guys watching along at home, they were just sitting on the table. Now it's bolted, so it'd be very hard to do it now. But they had a
stand, but the stand wasn't mounted to the
correct.
Table.
Yeah,
so
correct.
Like, yeah, I mean, you could knock it over, but it wasn't just laying there on the table. It had a little mount, but
so collectibles cards clutter. Which I'm sure if he has clutter, he's probably knocking his camera off all the time. Unacceptable for any breaker to take the camera off the product. Unacceptable.
Twice. He said it was unacceptable twice.
I'm surprised it wasn't in caps.
I can't believe, I mean, to actually type that out, you're like, this guy must have just, what did he pull? What did he pull?
Yeah,
what did you basically you? So you pulled something that was better than a LeBron James logo man. So you basically had to slip something else in there. So yeah, what was it, Conrad? What'd you?
there was a $5 million bill just shoved in there.
You can't. I mean,
I can't even come up. Come up with an answer.
There literally is no card
that would have been bigger than the LeBron logo.
Somebody
man.
Did say something that imagine if like. And we would never do this, but I put that, like, imagine if you, like, pulled that card out and you got just as excited about a Terry Rozier. That was in there as well. That was a comment. And I was like, that's funny. I'm like,
yeah,
falling out of your seat.
So, yeah, some people get it, you know, and obviously those that have been breaking with us for a long time now, and Mulder Break has been around since 2010, like, there's no card, like, including that one, that we would ever jeopardize the integrity of the business for. And people with that break with us know that. But I can see like where they're coming from. Like I forgot that I kicked the camera, bro. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He didn't like. I can guarantee you weren't like. You know what? If I ever pull a LeBron James logo, man, I'm kicking the camera over. Like probably not how you drew it up. Like ideally, like I get it. Like falling back, but you probably didn't want to kick the camera out. Plus, yeah. I mean, those are like $4,000 or $5,000 cameras. So like. Yeah. We're trying not to break those.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, definitely not intentional. Like I said, I completely forgot that part because I have showed that video to people over the years and they've laughed at it and they, you know, die laughing at my reaction and stuff. But it's like I forget that I do kick it over for that instant, but then, like, you know, I obviously it goes right back on the table, and then boom, there's a LeBron.
Well, you know, it's funny because the guy edited. I actually got a message from Card Porn. Shout out to Card Porn once again, and it was asking, why are people saying Britney B word? And I'm like, well, actually, the part of the video,
It's not a bad word. bitch is not a bad word. You can say it. It's Britney, bitch.
It's a kids show. but anyways, yeah, they were like, what's up with the Britney? So obviously there had been people that had watched the actual video.
The real video.
And they remember that part. And then I was like, oh, and he goes, oh, I must have scrubbed it out. There was a lot of moments of trying to gather himself. So I kind of fast forward through that to kind of edit the clip down. So he missed that part. But
I feel like I would go, it would be even a little bit more viral if that was left in, because that's something that sticks with people who were there that day watching that break and like who watched it after. That's like one of their favorite parts. I think, was I wearing a Britney shirt?
I think so.
Okay, you were.
So,
yeah. Absolutely.
That's where that came from.
Absolutely.
I think that was before the Free Britney movement. That's old school.
Yep.
And then we had another comment, and this just shows you where we're at in this industry, because there's a lot of retail guys coming in.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that haven't seen product. And the guy said, and there was actually more people commenting on this. Oh. All smoke. This box is supposed to be sealed. Shit was already opened. Nothing new here. So they were referring to National Treasures having the seals. They didn't know that Flawless doesn't have seals on the inside of the box.
Oh, okay.
They thought that we actually planted. They're alluding to the fact that we planted a LeBron James
to go viral for a couple hundred people.
Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, until Card Porn like tweeted out, made his video and put it on Instagram, we really didn't do that great of a job marketing it ourselves.
Yeah. I have an edited video of some stuff that I haven't put out yet.
But still, like, that, I mean, that is a, there's breakers out there that have been doing it as long as they have been doing it as long as we have and haven't pulled a card of that caliber.
Yeah. Well, I linked him with some other ones that you did too. So hopefully there might be a little Luka action coming out.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Like what Dan was saying, that really is a truly once in a generation type of card, right? So, I at the time, like, I was like, damn, like, the hobby, people that were in the hobby, they knew about it, and they're like, oh, that's cool, and they love the reaction and stuff. But we didn't, you know, we didn't know what was gonna happen in 2020 with the hobby exploding. If this video was just like 6 months later.
Oh,
like I was saying on my own personal Instagram, I feel like this would have been like on ESPN or something.
Could have been on TMZ.
Yeah,
should have been on TMZ.
I know there was people getting like with less, right?
Come on,
there was less people. You there was still, less,
like, could, a, like a gold hits. Brady, right?
Yeah.
Like a gold Brady.
Or Mosaic. What was it? Nebula.
Yeah,
that made it. And who was that? Kardashian. Rob Kardashian. Hit that
TMZ
one?
Can come. They can do this. They can do it now. It's so, not that long ago.
I don't think C-Rad's heard this news yet, and I'm pulling it up over here, and what some of these newspaper articles I have to subscribe or pay to, so I'm trying to get my info.
Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, that one I subscribe to that one. That's fine, but other ones want you to pay for news, and I don't feel like I should.
This is hilarious. I didn't see this comment yet, so I didn't know that people were like, oh, they planted this LeBron logo, man. Like, I'm not planning crap if I have that LeBron logo, man.
We got
no kidding.
You know how it is when you got an extra LeBron logo man laying around.
Just having it, just when you're ready. Whenever you want to make a viral video, you just pull it out of the vault, just ready for it.
It was actually overall, it was a really good box. There's a Larry Bird in there. It was a good box.
Well, I figured it out. That's why the John Morant or the Logo Man Zion hasn't been pulled. It's just sitting in our vault. We're just waiting to make a viral video and get the Tiki Talk going.
Yeah. Tiki Talk.
The Tiki Talk.
I know what it's called. I just want to make myself sound old.
No, it's fine. I call it Tiki Talk. I actually watching that video, I think, is the longest I've spent on that platform.
Nice.
So
it's a good platform. It keeps my kids busy.
I gave that platform 2 minutes of my time. Very valuable. Very valuable time.
So the news broke today. New Fanatics trading card business. Not Fanatics memorabilia. Not Fanatics shirts, whatever. Trading card business valued at over $10 billion. That's a B.
With a B?
With a B.
$10 billion.
Billy. Not a milli. Billy.
So they did their first round of Series A investing, and they had three to four investors that already invested $350 million just to be part of this trading card.
I was sitting in the queue. I was on that Zoom call. I was just waiting for them to click and get me in. I'm like, Well, I got a couple hundred to throw at you guys. Dollars, like hundred, not million, just dollars.
So react to that. See, this is the first time you heard this, right?
Yeah.
React to that.
Bro. You want to fall out of your chair?
Fanatics, holla at us. I could pull LeBron logo, man. You feel me?
So my first reaction was, and I know Fanatics, they're taking the whole thing, right? We're talking NBA, NBAPA, MLB, MLBPA,
so it is
NFL, NFLPA. So that's what we have so far. Now, the Topps deal that they had worked out, I think it was $1.8 to $2 billion. And that was going to be MLB and MLBPA. Fanatics definitely saw something in this and was like, we need to get this money together because it is being undervalued. And we were all looking at each other going, at $2 billion for one category, for just one sport, I think that was overvalued. Yeah. But that's why we're not in finance. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, $10 billion with a B. And I think Fanatics is valued overall $12 billion?
I think there were $18 billion. I don't know if this pushes it up now. I mean, like I said, I'm not from finance either. I'm a product of public school. But it was a it says the investments, which accounted for approximately 3.4% of the entity called Fanatics Trading Cards, come from a trio of investors, private equity group Silver Lake Entertainment, Giant, Endeavor Group Holdings, and Insight Partners. And I did some quick research before we got on air. It looks like Endeavor Group owns UFC. So I got to think that that's coming at some point if they're involved with the UFC.
Panini.
I think Panini's going to be – I don't know. At this time, I didn't have time to search how long the deal is for UFC. I'm sure it just started, so it's got to be at least a couple years.
Yeah, but did that matter in the other deals?
I don't know if it was exclusive.
It didn't matter how long the MLB license was going to last. Like, Fanatics just came in and – threw that money at it.
And slapped everybody in the face.
But yeah, that UFC is a little tricky. I mean, hypothetically, Panini loses UFC as well, and I'm, again, hypothetically don't know. That would leave them with some soccer and NASCAR, like racing, which is an undervalued category. And like Fortnite.
I haven't seen any Fortnite cards in a while. Do people still play Fortnite? Is that a thing?
It's still a big.
The first series Fortnite cards that we didn't know what to do with, that we had cases and cases of, are worth a bunch of money now.
Are they? Cool. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah, we actually sell everything. We brought them to the National and gave a Fortnite pack away to every kid who was there.
Yeah, that's
handing hundreds of dollars out, just like, here you go.
To be fair, they probably threw in the garbage too, or they put it in their mouth.
In their mouth.
What? I don't know how age. That's what my daughter tries to do. She's just three, so I mean, I don't know. I don't know at what point. You know, I mean,
I don't have kids. I have no idea. I don't know at what point. I think there's actually there's terminology for it. It's like the oral stage or something like that, where kids put everything in their mouth.
Yeah, it's probably. My daughter.
I mean, I've done
really
a lot of research about kids.
I mean, my daughters are. I tried to get them into. They were having some fun with Pokemon. They were putting them in the sleeves and everything. So I was teaching them how to keep the cards, you know, safe. But back to the Fanatics thing. The company's rapid rise of $10 billion valuation in a matter of weeks reflects that it sees the potential to transform the decades-old yet suddenly booming trading card business to benefit both the rights holders and collectors. These people said their plans involve being not just the primary seller of trading cards, but also capturing a chunk of an exploding resale market in which card traders have driven prices to record highs. It also goes to mention a fact that they feel that distributors, in a sense, so the guy that's interviewed here is one of the guys that donated or that invested some of the money, so it's not coming from Fanatics' mouth, but they were saying that gone are the days, in a sense, that their plan is to not have a middleman watch prices rise. They want to give more value to the customers. So what I'm thinking is that at some point they're going to probably just raise prices and dictate the market themselves, as opposed to letting somebody else dictate the market. And that might change. I mean, we're still in the infancy stages of this deal. We got some of these licenses that don't expire till 2026. But this is crazy. I mean, we were just talking about this a month ago, and now we're at the point now where it's like, this is big money, and this is. Somebody commented on a video that I said that we're not going, like, that Panini and Topps are already corporate. No, this is corporate. That's what I mean, is that you got Warren Buffett types. You got guys. The Endeavor Holdings Group is worth $88 billion. The one that was just chump change, they just threw out to Fanatics. So, you know, that's what I mean by corporate. If you've ever been to a industry summit before this year, that's what we were at. We were at a small niche community of businesses and hobby enthusiasts. This is mainstream. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Obviously, they feel like the trajectory of the hobby is still going to continue to go up, or they wouldn't have thrown money around like this.
I think you mean Jimmy Buffett.
Margaritaville?
The Margaritaville. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's a good jam. I haven't been to his place in Vegas in years. He used to go, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a... Like a Chili's with like a casino.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've actually never been there. Chili's, huh?
You never been to Chili's?
No, I've been to Chili's. I haven't been to that place.
So Golden Auctions actually put this out, and I thought it was kind of interesting. So we all know about the Bowman draft picks 2009 Super Fractor Mike Trout, sold in August of 2020 for $3.84 million. And they put out this... courtesy of Golden Auctions' Instagram. What's it worth now?
Ooh. I think it's worth less.
You think it's worth less?
Yeah, I didn't think it was worth 3.85. Now I think it's worth less. I think I know we don't talk about the D word. I know we don't talk about the D word. But historically...
I try to stay away from as many Ds as possible.
Yeah, that's funny. Historically, you do see this. We were talking about it earlier today. This quarter, this time of the year, back to school, all that stuff, you're heading into fall, winter time. You do see a little bit of a dip, yeah. Right? And then December, right in the middle of winter, you do see, right at the end of the year, you see a lot of releases come out. So then you see another quick spike just based on the amount of like new product that is released to get out before the end of the year. I think if this card went on the market right now, I think it sells for like $3 million. I don't think there's somebody willing to pay over the 3.85. I think it goes for $3 million to $3.2.
See, now I think if this thing was resold, I've been looking at a lot of Golden Auctions data recently, and it seemed like there was a lot of big sales happening in March of this year. April and March, it was like, you know, we had the start of baseball, we had the start of football looming. I think if they would have sold it in March, it may have gone over that. But I think you're right now. I think maybe Angels, everybody's focused on Ohtani. I think if they were to sell this maybe next March, maybe get a little bit more.
Yeah, I that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. I think Ohtani is overshadowing on that team.
Yeah.
Ohtani is probably going to win MVP. It looks, I know it's between him and Vlad, but it looks like it's going to be Ohtani.
What do you think, C-Rad? What's it worth now?
You know, generally, obviously, I agree with everything you guys are saying in terms of where the market is right now. But I also want to think about, like, this is a ultra high-end card, right? So the people that are gunning for these type of cards, maybe somebody wanted it and was like, dang, I missed that opportunity to own it last year for 3.8.
Just had an extra 3.8 burning a hole in the pocket.
I mean, yeah, there's gotta be...
There's people out there.
Yeah, there's gotta be somebody like a high-end collector that was like, you know, just waiting for their opportunity to own this card. So it probably would go for less. I agree with you, but I don't know. Like, I feel sometimes like these type of cards are a little bit different as well. Like, they don't necessarily follow the market necessarily. Maybe they have their its own market.
I think if it would go for more, I think it would be one of those fractional companies that would buy it and then split it up. You know,
that makes sense.
At 150,000 shares or
that
whatever.
That makes sense too. Yeah,
I think it's really hard to judge the market value of a specific card when somebody is buying it to resell it in fractional pieces. Yeah. I know we've talked about that before. Like, we don't know. The person who bought this for 3.85 may own a fractional website that's going to put it up at some point. Yep. Who knows? It could be somebody who is just like, this is the holy grail of modern cards, which it is.
It is.
It is.
Baseball cards.
Baseball cards. I'm going to be a singular person and buy that card and just hold on to it.
And now in other news, I know people were like, Doug, you're too hard on HGA. Doug, we love HGA. I feel like HGA collectors are like ICP fans. They're just devout. They don't want to see some of the negativity that comes around.
Juggalos?
It's just they're just devout. They like, wear the like HGA juggalos. Shirts. I used to be a Juggalo too. I get it. They wear the HGA. They got the hat. They walk out in public, maybe shoes, socks, all HGA. You know, and I understand you can't grade a PSA, can't grade a BGS, but another boo-boo, a confirmed fake of a Wayne Gretzky rookie card here that was slabbed authentic by HGA.
You know, so, nowhere on that slab does it say authentic.
Well, once they grade it, that means they're grading a true card.
But are they?
Well, they can't. Then they might as well just grade reprints.
Because what if in their terms and conditions it states we don't authenticate.
That's a good devil's advocate point there.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, I think you would have to put on the slab reprint or fake or something like art card. Like, if you don't want to call it a fake, you can call it like an art card. You can't call it a reprint because it's not done by the manufacturer, the original manufacturer. But you could call it like an art card.
And I guess it's a real easy fake to spot. I mean, we have a few Topps ones. I think we might have one OPC, I think, in a low grade.
Right off the bat, it looks a little dark.
It's there has to do with the dots. There has to be three dots, I believe, and there's not. I don't know exactly. My lack of Wayne Gretzky knowledge here is showing through, but I guess on the real one, there has to be three dots somewhere. It's not on there. You look at the D and the O on Edmonton, it looks like it might have been printed off a little funky. You know, and obviously somebody that probably sent this in knew what they were doing. They knew they had a fake. So they didn't go with PSA. They didn't go with BGS. They went with OPC, which, I know people are like, well, they're a new company. Well, it's like, I would think, I would put myself in the position of like, I'm HGA, I'm a new guy on the block. Why are they sending me this card?
If
like,
you'd
have to like look into that. Like, everybody goes PSA for this type of card. Why are they sending me this card? But
if you're going to go through the hassle of making a fake Wayne Gretzky card, the best you can do is a 3.
Well, I think at some point somebody, and maybe the person that bought it didn't know that.
Maybe,
because this thing about it, you could put it out at a show and be like, it's a ding corner, I'll take $300 for it. And you know what I'm saying?
To me,
I'll take $100 for it.
To me, when I first saw it, and again, like the three dots is probably the telltale sign, but I looked at it and instantly I was like, the blue looks like the wrong shade of blue.
Yes.
I think, and it could be the lighting on the picture, but I just recall like it being a lighter shade of blue. Yeah. That like looks like a real dark blue.
Mm-hmm. Real bold blue.
Yeah, real bold blue. So that's the first thing I look at. But yeah, I mean, I guess the AI technology can't pull out.
Oh, we're still waiting on that video that's supposed to come out.
We'll pull out the fakes. Well, I mean,
and I know I'm really.
It needs to be a quiet time before you can really release something like that. And this isn't a quiet time. This is not.
And this pains me. And once again, like my advice to you guys that have a card like this, and I know it's sold for a decent amount of money, is if you have a card like the Gretzky or this one I'm going to show here, which is the Justin Herbert, somebody sent the RPA Stars and Stripes Justin Herbert to HGA, and I just threw it in my mouth.
Look at that label.
I mean, it's great for 4th of July. I get it. I understand. If you said, you know, and it sold July 29th, so maybe the guy that bought it was like, man, it just was 4th of July. I got to buy this. But
it undersold.
Yeah, it probably
If that's a BGS or a PSA, that sells for more. And I don't know what it sold for. It's $60,000 or best offer. That card sells for more.
But you can get that graded from PSA and get it back in a week.
$250.
No, you have to spend a lot more.
Well, yeah. What if it comes back a 1? They might be like, just we'll call it $250.
Right. But it'll probably be $1,000 to $2,000 to grade that.
Yeah, I mean actually probably $3,000 or $4,000if it is valued at like $60,000.
No, I think it's $2,000 to if it goes to $75,000.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, if they're valued at over $75,000, then absolutely it'll be more of a charge. But I can understand if you're grading base cards and you want to do a quick flip on some HGA stuff and you don't want to hold it long term. I guess that makes sense. But something like this was an uninformed collector. If you have cards that you've seen some sell for like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, do not use this company. We give them, maybe 5 years. We'll do the hype episode 400 and we'll have a different story. They've been around. But right now it's like wait and see. Don't send your cards in to this company.
Now, the only thing that I can say about that is, say you're like, you
high
know what
cards that is,
say I really like the slab, I'm a Justin Herbert super collector, I want to basically make it unique for myself,
yeah,
and I have no plan on selling it, which isn't the case with this.
I was gonna say,
because the person who got that graded put it directly on the bay,
yep,
and sold it. Now, but I'm saying that, like, if they were like, you know what, I want I really love how they match the labels to the card, I'm going to keep this card forever, I'm going to go HGA, I don't even care about what the grade's going to be as much as just like having it encased.
I guarantee you whoever got it has probably cracked it out already and resubmitted it somewhere else and maybe was thankful that they got maybe a discount at that time. I mean, that was right at the beginning of the season, right in the off season there. I mean, maybe there was some preseason games at that point.
You think HGA is asking themselves about that too? Like, why are you sending us this?
No. I heard they're actually backed up now too. They just sent a message to somebody saying it's not going to be 10 days, it's going to be more. So I think they're getting overloaded themselves because they're one of the only games in town.
Maybe that's why they let the Wayne Gretzky get through.
Maybe.
Ain't got time, man.
Machine did it.
Nobody would send us a fake Wayne Gretzky.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, if you like the look of HGA slabs, that's completely fine. You know, obviously, like, aesthetics are all, like, opinions, right? Like, if you like the way it looks, like Dan was saying, and if something for your PC, go for it, man. But high-end cards right now, you it's just not a smart idea to send it into HGA. Like cards like this or cards like the Wayne Gretzky. Also with something that I was reminded of with Instagram, I saw a post the other day, PSA, if a card turns out to be fake, if it turns out to be trimmed or whatever it is, they actually will pay you, they will buy the card back from you at market price if they were the ones that graded it and it turns out to be fake.
I don't know.
Shoot.
I was going to be like, there's going to be an influx of Jordan, like fake Jordan cards that just go to PSA right now. And they're like,
no,
give me market value for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, that's why we trust PSA and BJ just a little bit more, because they probably do. They've been around longer. They do their due diligence to make sure your cards are actually authentic and not trimmed, et cetera, et cetera. But if it does turn out that they graded a fake card, that's, they have this guarantee, right, PSA on the back end, that they'll buy it back for them. But I don't know if HGA or some of these other companies do that. I would doubt
they do that. I didn't know that from PSA. That's
pretty cool.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, I want to move on to the new draft class for NBA, and make sure you guys check out mojobreakshop.com, where we have the latest of everything. But we do have the new Chronicles draft NBA 21-22. I want to say 22-23. I'm losing track of the years here. but if you use code MOJO11 on MOJOBreakShop.com, it'll get you 11% off. So we usually only do 10%, give you an extra little percentage. I know that adds up. I mean, you're going to buy 5 or 6 boxes of something. That's going to get you a good saving. So go ahead and use that on MOJOBreakShop.com. We've got all the latest football, basketball, soccer, UFC. I mean, Pokemon is selling like hotcakes on there. So head over there for your latest wax. But I wanted to get into this new draft class here as we head into some of the first couple products. And, we've got these new rookies coming in, and I don't think we're ready to get away from the last year. I mean, we had Obsidian release today, which is confusing to collectors because the 2021 Obsidian came out today, and now the 21-22 came out today as well. And we still have at least, 4 to 5 products for the 21-22 class.
I'll throw one at you right now. They named a online exclusive. There's going to be 2021 black.
Okay. Well, that was an online. Was that an online exclusive last year too?
No.
I feel like it was.
I don't know. The year before, for football, it was.
I feel like it was last year for online as well.
Well,
but your four or five products is
might be closer.
We got
to
like 10.
So it's like, what rookie card are you chasing? So, and I think people are still trying to get LaMelo. So this class is going to be a little slow, which might be good for collectors to scoop up stuff early. And I wanted to highlight a few players here that kind of highlight some of the bigger names out of the gate. And I want to get C-Rad's opinion on some of these guys. Obviously, we have Jonathan Kuminga, which shown here is an Onyx auto of him because I could not find an auto of a Panini pulled product yet.
Mm-hmm.
I did see
yesterday.
One get pulled in the store though. So that one, I think he shortened his auto. So on this one, it looks like he did a full name
auto.
Yeah, he
just writes
auto.
JK now. I'm so sad about
that. He just writes JK. Even though I did see some other ones where he didn't do JK.
Okay.
I guess it depends on what mood he's in.
Oh, but moving forward, like when we get later in the year, it's going to be JK.
Yeah. It might just be J. It just might be a line at this point. And then we've got Cade Cunningham on the Pistons, who's also another top pick. Mm-hmm. And then people are talking about Jalen Green, who's had some Goodwin Champions autos. He's obviously in the Chronicles draft. And then we have Mr. Suggs, Jalen Suggs for Orlando. What situation do you think is best for one of these rookies? You know, obviously it's early. We haven't seen a lot of games. We had some summer league action. Yeah. Which one of these rookies do you think shine right out of the gate? We got the Magic, the Rockets, the Warriors, and the Pistons.
I feel like in terms of the best situation, I think maybe it's a little biased, but I feel like Kuminga coming to the Warriors, he's going to come into obviously a system and place where, you know, it's a well-oiled machine. So he's going to be able to really learn like high level basketball early in his career. Right. In terms of like rookies that are going to shine, obviously the Rockets and Pistons situation, like they're going to be able to have the ball in their hands majority of the time, and they're just going to be able to like go, you know, have no restrictions on what they're doing there. So they're going to be able to put up stats in Houston and in Pistons for Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green. Suggs, you know, in Orlando, they do have a lot of young guys that they've been trying to develop over all these years. So we'll see what happens there. But he is another talented kid. So hopefully he does well there. But I feel like Kuminga, and again, I might be biased, I feel like he's going to be in a situation where he's going to be able to help us win right away.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like what we were talking about with Wiseman last year. With the Warriors, like the rookies, you're not expected to carry the team.
Yeah.
Now, what happens with that, though, is that they also don't fill up the stat sheet.
Yeah.
Like, they may be able to get that 1 year underneath their belt, understand. Like, Wiseman can come out this year, if healthy, and be an absolute dominant
player.
So
much better than he showed
last
year.
Because yeah. He had a whole year to basically learn the Warriors system, learn, like, you know, where Steph wants him to be, where the rest of the team wants him to be, what Kerr is expecting of him. So it's just one of those really good situations. Again, I don't think he's going to fill up the stat sheet, but I think he's going to basically make the Warriors better.
Yep.
He's going to give them another weapon. I think out of the gate, Jalen Green, Rockets, because he had that 1 year last year. He didn't do college. He went to the G League, the Development League.
Yeah, he's ready.
And was able to play there. He was playing against NBA talent.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be able to step into the Rockets, and I think he's going to be able to be the guy. I think you're going to see easily him averaging 20 points a game. I think out of the gate, I think that's where everybody's going to be going towards. The kid from Orlando, I think Orlando's up and coming as well. I think they're building a pretty good young squad over there. So he may be able to come out here and put up the stat, like put, you know, 20 points up. But those are my two guys that I think out of the gate, if you're looking for rookies who are going to put up the stats, those two guys.
Yeah,
I agree. And I think we're going to get a situation where I think we're going to see less guys go to the G League because of the new college deal that we see where guys can, you know, make money off of their likeness. But I think that was the whole reason Jalen Green's like, well, I'm not going to make money in college. I'm pretty much ready. I'm going to do this G League for 1 year and then I'm going to go right in the NBA. But yeah, he was playing against pro level talent in the G League. So he might have a year up on some of these guys. I believe the Rockets still have John Wall, right?
They're trying to move him because they I think they've both agreed that they don't necessarily they don't feel it's right to it's a disservice to have John Wall on the team if they're not gonna use him as a starter. So like they both mutually agreed to like try to find him a new.
They're not gonna start John Wall.
Yeah, because they're basically in full rebuild mode.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say they have so much depth.
Right. They're a couple years away from being a couple years away.
No, they're in full rebuild mode, and it's not fair for John Wall, who's you know like a wily vet, to not. Have like be the star player there, you know what I mean? That he wants to be.
Don't go to the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm with you too on Suggs. I think they're Orlando. I mean, barring some injuries, they've had some injury history. I know they just moved Aaron Gordon, but they've got a good young core there. Hopefully, Jonathan Isaac will be able to play. He's got some issues. Yeah. He's got the same issues that Wiggins has as well. So we don't obviously want to talk about that because it's a sports podcast, and we don't want our stuff blocked if we mention that word. So, So we'll see what happens there. And it's gonna be interesting. And you can get these breaks if you guys want to chase these autos. I actually love that they did Chronicles draft first because I think it gives variety to collectors. Is you have the limited design, you have the select design with obviously college uniforms, and there's a lot of variety in this in that product. So I like it better than starting off with like a contenders draft that they've done before.
Yeah.
So. You know, get in on these at mojobreak.com. We're going to have team breaks of that as well coming up. We may mix them into some other products to give some teams like Orlando. I mean, even the Rockets. I mean, you mix it. If C-Rad does one of his great mixers that he comes up with here on mojobreak.com, then you could throw this in there, and it gives value to the Rockets. Yep. Gives value to the Magic. I mean, the Warriors don't need a little bump, but, you know, some of these teams that when you got the Rockets in a random last year, you're like – it's tough, right? So, you're hoping for like a Hakeem Olajuwon or a Clyde Drexler. Now you can be hoping for Jalen Green, which is, I think, a good thing. So, I wanted to talk about this in terms of some NBA stars that, we've seen sell over the last couple months. And I wanted to talk specifically about Luka, which people are calling Luka Donut now because he looks a little bit big coming into training camp. But he hasn't played for a couple months.
Almost every year.
It always
though.
Happens.
It's that one thing that, like, I know we were talking about it last year, starting season. It's like, he looks super out of shape, and then he just hitting like triple doubles every game. It's like, yeah, okay, he's fine. He's good. He looks thin now.
So it goes back to this specific one, and take it how you will. This specific card, back into that March area that we talked about, there was a Luka Doncic 18 Prism Auto Gold, so they're numbered to 10, that sold on Golden Auctions for $59,000. 2 days ago, the same card, granted, the first one was a PSA 10, the second one's a PSA 9, sold for $20,000. So significantly less on a Luka Gold compared to March. Now, that kind of just goes to show you there is a right time to sell. Obviously, it seems like March might be the better time to sell. So I was comparing that as talking about NBA. But we do have some LaMelo numbers in, and I thought this was kind of crazy. There's a Pop 1 LaMelo numbered to 8. 2021 National Treasures LaMelo Ball rookie card with a sick patch, 3 out of 8, so it's out of the first off the line, $140,000. A LaMelo Ball true RPA number to 99, $60,000. And then you look at like Ja Morant, right? 1920 Ja Morant RPA, PSA 8, grand, not great grade, $20,000. So people are paying three times the amount for LaMelo Ball. So I'm tying this into the new rookie class. I mean, when the NT comes out this year, is LaMelo's cards going to be less than Jalen Green's cards? You know, it just seems like that's the trend. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you look at Ja Morant, and the guy beat the Warriors to get into the playoffs. I figured that was a great season for him, but his cards went down.
He played lights out.
Yes.
He played lights out in the postseason.
Short answer is yes.
So what does it take for somebody that's 2 or 3 years in? Everybody loves Luka, and his prices reflect that. But like these other guys, they come out hype, and then it's just like next guy, next man up. I mean, even LaMelo outsells Zion at this point. And Zion was the reason a lot of you guys came in to collect.
$140,000. I know it's number to 8. I know it's an FOTL, but $140,000.
LaMelo's that kid, man.
And if I'm not mistaken, $60,000 for just number to 99.
$60,000. Yep. And we currently own one of the 99s, PSA 8, and we got offered $55,000. Probably should have taken it. On hindsight, probably should have taken it.
No,
reoffer it.
We don't sell. We don't sell anywhere.
We hold.
Diamond hands, baby.
Diamond hands. So yeah, I mean, probably should sell that LaMelo ball.
I'm a buyer when it hits.
Well, I won't tie it to this giveaway, but like, you guys that are watching this video, would you sell the LaMelo ball RPA for $55,000? It probably helps to know what we're into it as. We're into it around 40, I would say, close to 40. Because we did purchase it from somebody that got a hit in the break, which, you know, just happened to work out, because we had pulled the Edwards and the Wiseman. So I just wanted to complete the triangle. Normally, we don't buy cards like that from customers, but, like, got an offer. I was like, all right, let's make this work, because I want to have the triangle of the three rookies.
The trifecta.
So, but, yeah, so maybe it's time to sell. I don't know. And then you even look at, it's just mind-blowing to me. I know we talk about this on the hype all the time, but it's like, it really is going to take a lot for your rookie to go up beyond his rookie year.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the thing about, and we're looking at that 1920 Panini Flawless Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
Under $5,000. That is Panini's highest end product that they're going to come out with, besides like Eminence when they
and
do
the
release it.
Patches are game used too.
Patches are game used. I think that card is extremely undervalued. But do you think, because that card would have been an encased card,
yeah,
uncirculated encased card by Panini, do you think grading that card devalues it?
The Ja Morant,
because that card would have been in a Panini encased.
That's true. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. I probably would have kept it ungraded.
So would I. Yeah. But do you think that card sold for $5,000 because of that? Because consumers know that. Collectors know that. That card originally was uncirculated, and now it was taken out of its original magnetic case with the Panini sticker on it and submitted to BGS. I see a lot of those flawless cards that are uncirculated graded.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, a lot of them are like BGS 8.5s or like PSA 8s. They like never tend to grade well.
Right, right. Yeah, I would love it in the magnetic. Or, you know, that even to follow up on that, maybe it's better to like, Ja Morant was live in the product, I think, but like, what if you got a Luka and just kept like Luka? Well, Luka was a redemption anyway. That's a bad example. So like, say you got somebody, some big RPA, and it came as a redemption and it has the Panini sticker on it.
Yeah.
You risk risk taking it out, because at least if you have it in that encased.
I guess we were just talking about maybe 18-19 opulence.
Yes.
Luka was a redemption in that.
Yeah.
If you were to get that card back from Panini, it would be uncirculated in the magnetic with the Panini sticker.
Right, which
on
would
it.
Make a buyer feel comfortable that, you know, you didn't touch it, a breaker didn't touch it, it didn't get handled and put in the shipping.
Yeah.
It just came straight from Panini. So I know C-Rad's got a break, but I think he's still got some spots left. So we'll, you know, we have about 8 left on that. I know you're
oh, I still
close.
Do?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let me move it real quick.
So I think we're running a little short on time, but I did want to mention, and before you guys click on the slide past this, Justin Tucker, rip the Lions heart fan, the fans of the Lions just got their heart ripped out. They thought they had the game in the bag. There was a 4th and 17. Somehow they got a 20-yard completion with really no time left. Just the longest field goal in history. Bounces off the upright, probably by an inch, and then goes in, and game's won, and it's the longest kick in history. Before I get to the next slide, contenders, 2012, the Andrew Luck year. That's when Tucker had his contenders rookie auto, widely regarded as the best Justin Tucker auto. Let's play just a little impromptu guess that price. Assuming both of you guys haven't seen the prices.
I think I've seen the card before, but
what do you think the contenders auto sells for?
Is it raw?
I have a few. They're graded. They're graded, I think, between 9.5 and 9s.
I would say like
$250. $250?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think?
Like it can't be 1,000.
$500. One sold for $2,000. Pop 8. Another one sold for $2,000. And August 31st, one sold for $1,400. Doesn't make sense, right? Does not make any sense.
Gotta be short printed.
Low pop.
Gotta be short printed.
I remember pulling a lot of them, I thought. I thought, because we did a lot of 2012. We did a lot of 2012 because it was Andrew Luck and it was readily available. And it was RG3, Russell Wilson. I remember doing a lot, and I remember pulling some. I don't think there's I don't think it's a short print.
But maybe getting a PSA 10 is, you know.
Well, there's BGS 9.5. Yeah, PSA 10. PSA 10. But those are all recent sales. September 26th, September 27th, those were right after the game, so maybe a little impulse buy. I didn't think it was going to go for that much, but is he the greatest kicker of all time? Is that the GOAT? Is that the standard? Is he setting the prices for kickers now?
I think so. And he's been doing it long enough. There's a lot of kickers out there that, you know, have obviously kicked more. Gostkowski, like the Patriots, so you can put him up there. He was really good, really solid. But Justin Tucker, not only like late game clutch, the dude can kick like with distance.
Yeah.
So if I had to pick a kicker on my all time team, I would want Justin Tucker.
What about you? Yeah, C. Bass still?
C. Bass could kick it. Once you get past 50, it don't matter if he's sober or drunk. He has a chance to get it in there.
And you can't forget that he was kicking on the dirt. He's like the last guy kicking off the dirt 8 games a year.
But the
next slide, I have the ranker. So it's a website called Ranker, so people kind of pick. So they actually rank Justin Tucker third.
Interesting.
Behind Anna Vinatieri being number one.
I was going to say Vinatieri.
And Vinatieri is actually the NFL points leader of all time. So he has the most points scored. Justin Tucker is actually 40th. I don't know if he'll get to the top. He's been playing for about 9 years. I mean, I know kickers can play for – he could play for another 9 to 10 years. I don't know. Morten Andersen is second on the ranker. I'm going to show you guys the ranker here. Sebastian Janikowski, fourth. So there you go. Gostkowski, fifth, and Matt Prater, sixth, which I think Matt Prater tied the record, right?
He did.
The longest.
But in altitude.
In altitude, yes. Yeah.
And this was in Detroit, right? So we're talking a dome.
Yes. Yes. Well, I went and compared the prices of Morten Andersen, which
is $12.
1984 tops, and a 1997 Pacific Philadelphia Adam Vinatieri, which, by the way, and I'm going to go to the slide here for you guys at home. By the way, it's like a pop 200 of that 1997 card. So you would think. So the GOAT of all time, the greatest kicker of all time based on points, sells for $165. And that's the only set he was featured in. Because there's probably not a lot of the companies that were making cards back then were like, we need a kicker in the set. So he made it into Philadelphia as a Patriots. And $165, it was only one bid. Maybe it was the guy that owned the card. I don't know. But
and the Morten Andersen didn't sell.
Well, you could buy it now if you want.
Yeah, I didn't. But
PSA 8, $90 for Morten Andersen.
Great hair, great card.
1984. So, but is the new benchmark for kickers that $2,000 price point? Are we going to see other contenders' autos?
No.
So that's just an anomaly.
Justin Tucker, dude.
But what if there's another guy that comes out like a rookie?
Kicking an 85-yarder?
Yeah.
He's like...
Will the 66 yards ever be beat, I guess, with that, the evolution of the strength and the... And everything else, maybe, right?
I think it can.
Are we going to 4 years from now? Are we going to have 100-yard kicks? Or just,
I'm like
down
trying
one, and they just.
Trying to think of any team currently that would go out there and try to kick something longer than a 66-yarder. It would have to be like last play of the game,
late
or
game situation.
Like last
play of the
half. The
Cardinals tried to kick a 68-yarder, and they missed it. The guy ran back for a touchdown.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think who their kicker is. See how well that worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a handful of kickers. I mean, obviously, the Cardinals felt like their kicker can do it. Greg the Leg in a dome. He might be good for – he might be able to do a 65. I mean, he'd kick like a – to put the Rams into the Super Bowl was something crazy. It was like a 61-yarder or something like that. It was – or 58-yarder, something crazy.
So maybe if you guys want to sell Dan and C-Rad, Dan's in at 250 and C-Rad's in at 500. But let's go ahead and move on to real quick. Are you guys the 2021 NFL quarterback rookie class? I had kind of a tough week. Are you guys out on the 2021 rookie class, or is it just some growing pains?
Who's the main guy in 2022? I moved on.
Spindler Rattler.
These five guys are scrubs.
Well, there's one of them that's consistently getting touchdowns.
The one guy who could run a yard. So he's a short yardage guy. He's like a Tom Rathman.
Two touchdowns.
Like, you need it.
No interceptions.
From 1 yard. from 1 yard.
No, he threw a pass in week one. And he didn't even play in
week
two.
He threw a pass.
Yes, for a touchdown.
A pass, singular, one pass.
I mean, I am a little concerned about Mr. Zach Wilson. Jets are a little bit away. I think Fields will be fine. I just think that regime and I mean, the Nagy came out this week and is like, all three of the guys, we don't know who we're starting. It's like, you can't be in week three doing that. No. Week four. Mac Jones, I think he'll figure it out. He's got the right system there. And Trevor Lawrence, I think, currently leads the league in interceptions.
So we talk about it. In order to have like a top pick
in
the draft, you were a bad team the previous year.
Yeah.
You were not a quarterback away from being like 2-14 to, we have 17 games now, so it'd be like 15-2.
Right.
Like you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, and all of a sudden you're the best team in the league.
Exactly.
Now, the Jets were that team. The Jets were not a quarterback away.
Right.
The Jags were not a quarterback away. The Bears were not a quarterback away.
Bears made the playoffs last year.
But they were not a quarterback away.
But they're the closest to being ready.
They were the closest, and the Niners didn't need a quarterback. For the future, they may need a quarterback, but like they didn't. You don't look at their lineup and go, "Man, their weakest position is their quarterback."
Yeah.
The Patriots, kind of the same thing, right? You look, they didn't need a quarterback. So, I don't know. Like they've all Trey Lance, we haven't seen. Like let's face it, until he goes out there and starts a game and throws the ball 30 times, plays all four quarters, and is not like only in gimmick plays where he's like doing reverses and stuff like that. We don't know what he's capable of doing.
He's going to be Patrick Mahomes.
He's not. Yeah. Who knows?
I'm all in, man. So that's the guy I would be definitely buying is Trey Lance, me personally. Now, we do have a giveaway that Dan needs to announce the winner from last week.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Last week, $150 in credits in Mojo Break credit, and we're going to have another one after Dan names this
$100?
Giveaway. $150.
$100. Oh,
I think so.
Are you sure it's not 100?
I don't know. Maybe 50.
So is it 150? Is it 50? It's $150.
$150.
All right. And it was what your list? Your favorite Bowman Chrome auto,
That's correct.
We went with Scott McCrank.
Okay.
Come on down.
On my burner account. Thank you.
He named Jesse Foppert.
That's my favorite player.
Nice.
Former Giants draft pick, first rounder, I think.
See, now you're going to get people picking, like, favorites now. You're going to think that...
No, I picked it because, honestly, I haven't heard that name in probably 15 years.
It's very creative.
So, hey, go ahead and do that. Try it.
Try that.
But, yeah, Scott McCrank, hit us up. Get you a little site cred.
Yep. And then the giveaway this week, we're going to do another $150 in site credit. I want to know who you're selling out of those five guys right now. Did you see enough of Zach Wilson? You're like, I'm selling. Did you see enough of Trevor Lawrence? You're like, I'm selling. You probably didn't see enough of Trey Lance.
I think you got a hold right now. I think you got a hold on all of them.
I think my opinion is that generally, like, it is still kind of early to give up on any of these kids. You know what I mean? We got to see at least a full season, I would say. So, none of them are impressing me really, but you know, I'm not giving up on them yet.
Yeah, and then I wanted to quickly highlight before we go. We're running close on time.
Oh, not this guy, dude.
Once again, mojobreak.com is your spot for breaks. We're doing a lot of 2020, 2021. We even got 2019 stuff. C-Rad just did a two-box break of National Treasures. But we got this guy with the glorious hair. We got Mr. Justin Herbert, who beat the GOAT. So now he's the GOAT in this hobby.
Oh, God.
Because all it takes is you just got to beat the GOAT, and then you're the GOAT. So that's how it works, because we're ADD around here. But you got Justin Herbert and some of his recent card sales. Right after the game, you had a Contenders Optic Teal, number to 99, 9.5 with a 10 auto that sold for $3,400. You had a 2020 Contenders Raw that sold for $2,000. You also look at the guy, Mr. Baby Yoda, Kyler Murray, had a big game. And I don't know why I could only find SGC cards, but hey, that's the world we live in. 2019 Contenders Optic Prism Auto, so kind of similar to the Herbert, $1,100. A regular Contenders Kyler Team Logo 9.5, $1,500. So it's almost like you could get two Kylers to one Herbert. Would you rather have...
Kyler is undervalued still.
It feels that way.
Undervalued.
He's going to get another win this week.
He's not going to win. He is the front runner right now for the MVP.
You got to think so.
It is between him and Stafford right now, right?
No, Derek Carr's in there.
No,
Derek Carr's in there, dude.
Derek Carr. Maybe
he threw for 400 games.
It goes Kyler Murray, and then it goes Teddy Bridgewater, then Derek Carr, then maybe Stafford. So he's got
okay. It's not Teddy Bridgewater.
It's 3-0.
So Matt Stafford is.
Oh, Darnold! You got to throw Darnold in there too. He's probably ahead of Stafford. They take points away when you've played for 15 years. So
okay, it's he's a beast.
If you're new to the show, he's a Rams fan. I'm a Niner fan, and C-Red's a Raider fan. But
yeah, the undefeated teams. Can you name them? I mean, you probably can.
The Raiders.
The Rams.
And who else is undefeated? That's all I know.
That's all you know?
Double R's.
Panthers.
There's another team in your division that's undefeated.
Oh, no, there's not.
Yeah, there is.
They're 2-1, the Chargers?
No.
Oh,
the Broncos.
Yeah, my high.
Who's their quarterback?
Teddy Bridgewater,
baby. That's why I said he's MVP candidate.
Oh, we don't even think about Denver over
and
here.
And then you have Carolina. Carolina's 3-0.
For some reason, I thought Teddy Bridgewater was on Panthers, but I just remember Sam Darnold's on the Panthers.
your Pokemon friend Sam Darnold.
I know. I am happy for him. He's a cool guy. So yep.
He's new scenery, and it worked out for him. So
yeah.
I'm still surprised. It just goes to show you people like who they like in the hobby sometimes, and it doesn't even matter on performance. So Kyler's killing it, but a lot of people came in after 2019, so they're just like, I don't know about 2019. I didn't know those football cards made in 2019. But in 2020, I was all up in it, so I'm going to buy those Justin Herbert cards. And because he beat the GOAT, he's the GOAT now. So you see those prices reflected. I much would rather have 2 Kyler Murrays to 1 Justin Herbert. Plus, they made a lot less in 2019, too. That's what people don't realize.
Yep.
So, yep. But I think that's all we have for the show today, guys. Make sure you guys follow us at mojobreak_com and at mojobreakm on Twitter. Check out the breaks at mojobreak.com where everything's scheduled, everything's guaranteed to fill, and we're doing a variety of everything, anywhere from one box breaks to 100 box breaks of all different sports. We even got F1 racing we're still doing. We're doing that. We're doing soccer. We've got Merlin soccer. We can't keep it in stock. So if you're a soccer fan, we're doing that stuff. And make sure you go to mojobreakshop.com and use that code MOJO11 for 11% off. And we'll see you guys next week on The Hype.